Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are so happy to be joined by a friend of the show and IRL friend, Lauren Vogelbaum.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Yeah, so good to be here.
Yes, you've been on the show before. Samantha has joined us over on the show. Lauren and I co-host Saver. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the listeners know about us by now, but it's always exciting when we get to like cross the streams, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which is a different movie we're not talking about today. But when we were hanging out recently and just chatting, we were talking about possible episodes you could come on. And we were talking about how we have this Feminist Movie Friday segment we do every month. And we were trying to choose a movie. And you were like, Die Hard. Can I come on and talk about Die Hard?
Because we were like, talk Christmas movies. Die Hard. I was like, yes. Oh, that infamous debate. Here we go.
Okay, so I know that this is a meme now, but genuinely, like growing up, my dad and I would watch two movies every year for Christmas, and it would be White Christmas and Die Hard.
Whoa. Those are two extremes.
That's a very different.
Very two extreme movies.
This actually probably says more about my personality than I'm really willing to delve into.
That makes sense, though. Like, you are the cutest, like elvish type person that I've ever met, but then also you're very dark and emo, so I'm like, she is that perfect mix. So there it is. That makes so much sense.
Yep. Nothing but bleeding feet and beautiful costuming.
Yeah.
That's great.
Beautiful costuming.
Yes.
And always smiling, even when it's bad.
Yeah.
Even when you're telling me something you hate, you're still smiling. I love it.
Yeah. That's what makes it fun, right?
Sure. Always. I mean, honestly, that could almost be the slogan of the show. Always smiling, even when it hurts.
Even though we're crying.
Yes. But the interesting thing, because we all watched this movie to prepare. Mm-hmm. I had only seen it. I saw it after college. It was the first time I saw it. And I really enjoyed it. But last night I was watching it and I was like, you know, I do feel that they captured the fear I have around holiday parties.
Oh, that is fair. I felt like it was very 80s. Obviously,
yeah, late
80s. It was.
Yeah.
But like that, like they encompassed the 80s corporate party of what we think about today. I'm like, for sure. Between the Coke, between the two coworkers trying to find space. Like, there's so many. You're like, there it is. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what especially in California, what you would expect from LA, which is where it's supposed to take place. Which I'm like, huh. And the limo dude. Like, that's just the whole added plus. But yeah, I'm with you, Annie. I actually did not watch this until way after college. because it was one of those debated things, I don't care about Bruce Willis. That's not a thing for me. And so I've never watched, I don't think I've ever seen any of his movies outside of the...
Armageddon?
No.
How did you avoid
people.
Armageddon?
Oh, I did see it. Sixth I think sense. I did see it. That was okay. A little while later, but like Sixth Sense was the yeah. one that I had okay. remembered more, most. But like the a couple of friends of mine was like, no, we're doing Christmas viewing, and it was Elf and Die Hard. And because I was so like, no, I don't want to, they're like, you have to come. So I ended up going to a group watching these two movies for Christmas.
Okay.
And that was where the debate came.
Well, I think I do have a point I want to come back to at the end about this, but I do think there's been a surge of much more recently, obviously, of sort of the like movies that are backlash against holidays, like holiday horror movies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Krampus, that whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like when I was watching this, because it had been a minute since I'd seen it, I was like, oh yeah, this feels like it's tapping into that like, ho, 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 here's a dead body. Like yeah. that sort of, here's the holidays, but they're violent.
Right. Yeah, hyper violent. I forget mm-hmm. every time I watch this film, and again, like I watch it like at least once a year, mm-hmm. how hyper violent it is. And
yeah.
I'm like, wow, go team. Like, what?
Yeah, it's sort of cool. doing like the opposite of all the like sweet, fluffy.
Yeah.
I mean, your mileage can vary on how sweet and fluffy those movies are, actually. But, like, that kind of whole vibe of the holidays, and this is like, no.
Nope. This is gritty. This is, yeah.
Yes. Yes. And holiday parties are rough. We were just talking about them
right.
before this.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very awkward all the time. Even when you genuinely enjoy hanging out with your coworkers, which mm-hmm. which we do.
Yes.
I mean... for the most part, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
like Ace's team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At iHeart Podcasts, but whoof.
Yeah, whoof indeed. Samantha and I think we've told you this, Lauren, but we like have at least two or three episodes that were us recovering from our office holiday party where we were like, I don't know why I was so upset, but I was crying. I don't know what's going on.
Traumatized.
Yeah.
Traumatized.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this movie definitely tapped into that. But Lauren, since you are expert, can you break down the plot of this film for us?
Sure. Okay. So, Die Hard is a movie about this New York salt of the earth cop, John McClane. And you meet him as he is flying out to LA, where you find his wife has spent the last 6 months, being a career girl. And like she took the kids with her and she's really like moving up at this company, the Nakatomi Corporation. And he's been a little salty about the whole thing. Like, he kind of expected her to fail and come home. And that is not what has gone on. So he's kind of coming out for Christmas and to hopefully apologize. I think that that's what he's moving towards. But yeah, so he gets there and oops, a bunch of terrorists have taken over the Nakatomi building and are holding everybody hostage. And it kind of goes from there where... he winds up kind of single-handedly saving the day, despite the fact that a lot of bumbling machismo, like higher-ups in the cop hierarchy and also FBI agents, try to mess everything up.
Yes, they really do.
And I was going to say, really they are all very bloodthirsty. Like, they are excited yeah. for dead bodies. I was like, Dale, they give no shit. About
Zero.
Death. They're like, let's get more bodies. Yeah, let's get the count going. We're celebrating down here. And I was like, what the f*** is happening here?
Yeah, it is 1988. We are totally cool with killing terrorists. That's
everybody.
100% chill.
Well, FBI was like, 25% of the hostages are going to die. It's fine. I'm good with that number. Literally, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a line.
Like, they're supposed to not be good guys. That's painted
obviously,
as not cool.
Yes.
Like, one of them is literally in a helicopter going like, oh, man, it's just like Saigon. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right. Real racist. Real racist.
Heck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hyperviolent. But yeah. Is that enough of a okay? So by the end of the movie, the other salt of the earth cop, played by Mr. Winslow.
Yes,
from
Family Matters.
From Family Matters. Yeah. Reginald Val Johnson, I believe, is the actor's name, and so he's just like on the walkie talkie with John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, the entire time, and they start a friendship. They hug at the end. It's really sweet.
They have a moment. That look.
Yeah,
I was like, this is a fan fiction look.
Tripping.
Yes.
Oh, Samantha, you've come so far.
You're welcome, Andy. I was like, this is where the fan fiction begins. Yes. With the two of them.
You're right.
His character does also go through an arc where you find out that he's been off the beat for a while because he accidentally shot a kid and he's really upset about it. But by the end of the movie, he learns to murder again.
Right.
That was a weird.
Why is it his choice that he's not on? There's so much confusion in why this is a celebration here.
Yeah.
But the other good thing is that John McClane's wife, Holly, I just realized that that's a Christmas pun.
Yes.
I've been watching this for 30 years plus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes when you know something so well, those obvious things like pass over, you know?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad about it, Lauren.
All right, I'm back. It just took me a second. But yeah, mm-hmm. and she learns that that she has to take her husband's name and be a better wife.
Right.
So I think that that's also really the important message of the film.
Well, so part of that was that because she didn't take her husband's name and went back to the... She was saved for a very, very long time until the unscrupulous, as my Wikipedia tells me, TV anchor...
Yeah.
Outs
goes and threatens their probably racist caricature nanny.
Yes. All the things was racist. Real racist. Also, what the hell?
Yeah. The probably Mexicana nanny, he threatens to like call the...
Like immigration service?
Yeah, immigration service. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is also like... I have a lot of themes I want to talk about. But also, Alan Rickman is... Hans, the main villain.
The main villain, yeah.
Yes.
Can we talk about the accents soon?
Yeah,
because I was like, what
talk about the accents.
Hell is happening?
Yes.
Anyway, this is where I'll say like the classic 80s, 90s, early 90s movies where you see the acting and you're like, oh, yeah, there's a differentiation of some acting. Like Bruce Willis has come a long way, baby. Like to his more recent movies, to seeing that, and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like the bar was fairly low. Alan Rickman did amazing. He did his job.
No
qualms with his acting at all.
Zero
and
notes,
all of the villains were hype villain. Like,
yes.
Like perfect 80s German villains.
Yes.
So blonde.
You know.
Yes.
As
it was
know.
Definitely like the. That was the, and it still happens, but like the time of the foreign villain of like, okay, they're all.
Yes. Well, still kind of on the, like, even though they're German, like, but the Cold War idea, because like it kind of differentiates. But anyway, but all of those things, the accents, I was like, wow, this is amazing just for the accents alone.
Yeah. Alan Rickman doing that German accent.
American
accent.
Which
and
is
then the
beautiful.
Dude who plays the security guard up front turning into like a cowboy accent.
Cowboy
and
guy.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is amazing. Thank you. But anyway, I'm sorry. Going back to the plot, I just have to interject what I think of these things because I'm like, wow, I forgot what the 80s action movies really, really was like at that point in time.
And then they blew everything up. Everything that could possibly be blown up blew up.
Yes.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I did want to talk about kind of the whole arc with Holly, John McClane's wife. And it's interesting to me because she is painted as very successful. She's like rising up in this corporation. She's doing really well. She has this watch that she got.
They just gave her a watch. It's a Rolex.
Rolex. Look at it.
Yes. And she's like, it was interesting because she's painted as very competent. She like, a lot of times in these movies, it's not. But she is definitely painted as a very competent person, both in terms of her job, but also in terms of she's the one that comes in and talks to Hans.
Yeah, about, she like does. Yeah. Like the hostage negotiation kind of stuff. Yeah. She's like, hey, like, can we get some restroom runs? Like, we've got a pregnant lady. Like, how can we handle this? Yeah,
exactly. So she is painted in that way, but it does crack me up that at the end, Hans is like pulling her down. He's falling out the window and he's holding onto her wrist and he's got the watch. So John McClane has to get the watch off so that she'll survive. And it kind of felt like, this was a symbol of her rising up in this job. And then, does take his name at the end. Which is like whatever if that's what you want to do, but I feel it because I have seen all the other movies and don't they like they don't work out ultimately.
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure
at least in every movie she's like they've broken up again.
Yes. So I've never seen the other movies. I will say it was hilarious and thank you American Capitalism, that the original was unavailable anywhere and you had to purchase it. Yep. But everything else is available. All of the diehards are available on everywhere. I'm like, you son of a...
They do that during the holidays, though. They know when you want to watch it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Capitalism. Yeah. But I will say, so the actress is Bonnie Bedelia, who was the It Girl of the 80s movies. If you remember her, she was in things like Needful Things and The Stranger, which was like kind of suspenseful movies. And then, of course, all of the other Die Hard movies. Apparently, they break up in all of them.
A joke at everyone. Like, oh, they're broken up again. And then they get back together at the end. And then the next one, oh my gosh, they're broken up again.
But her career was on a high through the late 80s. 80s and 90s. Like, you see her in so many movies. So seeing her in this role was, like, That is the curly-haired, brunette, auburn-looking young women who were pretty, but still looked mom-ish. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, had a maturity.
Like normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing her, but they always had to play the cool, like being really cool and soft-spoken and just easygoing characters. So seeing her in these roles quite made me like, yes, this is just her and herself, because she was such a staple in several of the movies and films that I had seen growing up, that I'm like, yeah, this makes sense that she's in this role specifically, where she had to be the calm, cool one, but like kind of protected, but not necessarily being protected. But obviously with her independence, still knowing that she needed her man.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting thing, because I feel like when this movie came out, it was when women were really going to the office in droves. Actually, funnily enough, we've talked about this on Savor plenty of times. It was like changing how we ate food. Like, it was just a big deal.
Yeah, the TV dinners, we were talking about that too.
Exactly. Yeah. It changed how we ate, lived, did things. And so she goes to this job because it's a great opportunity for her. He doesn't go because he's a New York cop. I believe he says, like, I'm a New York cop.
Repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's not painted as a bad thing, but it still is in the end, like, kind of undone. It's a very interesting thing that I feel like a lot of movies were doing at this time, where it's like, yeah, you can do it, ladies, and then, but do you want to, though?
Yeah, but this is what you want. Make you happy.
You certainly can, but should you?
Right. It doesn't, like, make her seem like a bad mom, which is what I was worried about, because I hadn't seen it in a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is still kind of like, but she could be at home, though, and get back with this guy, even though he apparently doesn't know how to say he's sorry.
Well, interestingly, I think he gets way more emotional over the course of the film than she does.
Yes.
I mean, he's the star of the film and she's not. But there's a whole scene where he's like really kind of like almost crying over this walkie to Mr. Winslow, Al, the character's name is Al, but and going like, man, like, if I don't make it out, just tell my wife that I'm sorry and I messed up and she was right the whole time. And which is very sweet. Like, I hope that they have that conversation after
IRL.
All of this is over. Right. Exactly.
Right.
I hope I didn't just say it to Al.
Right.
Which might take it back, because, you know, when people say things and admit things, and they're like, I'm just kidding, that was just me being emotional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. So in the, y'all haven't seen any of the other Die Hards, because there's like 10.
I've seen.
Oh, you have?
Some of them. I haven't like watched them the way that I've watched this one, though.
Does she keep working at this place? Does he move out to LA?
I have no idea.
No, he doesn't move out to LA.
Oh.
I mean, I could, listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I had a huge crush on Justin Long at one point.
Oh, that's right.
I saw number four several times. And there's also a Star Wars scene in number four. So, like, yeah, I've seen that one a bunch, and I'm pretty sure they were in New York.
Okay.
Also, they do go back to New York.
I feel like they bounce around.
I think they bounce around.
Yeah.
But in the end, they end up divorcing.
I mean, my vibe was, again, like, every movie ends with them back together and everyone starts with them broken up again. Which is, you know, that happens in these many sequels.
It also happens in real life. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Like,
that's true.
I feel like after the third or fourth time, you finally give up.
Yeah, you're like,
point.
Well, yeah, you keep getting into these hostage situations, my guy. Like,
yeah,
kind of veering around you seems
kind
like a problem.
Not.
So.
Yeah,
she does have one line where she's like, "Only John could make someone that angry when she's observing a terrorist." And
get
I was
on,
like,
"Can I drive someone that's crazy? Someone drive to someone crazy?" I was like, "That is such a like a '90s men are so crazy. It just drives me crazy."
Yes, but I mean, she does seem like the type that can match him, but is that always a good thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, I did want to mention the 80s was definitely when this whole thing was happening where the Mavericks were the heroes, like the guys who don't listen to the rules. And
right.
Mm-hmm. And there's a list about this that I find quite comical called the Iceman list, which is saying like a lot of times maybe they weren't so good after all, but they were painting them as heroes. I feel like the FBI agents were very, very bad. A lot of times it's like the government entity that's stopping yeah. them from doing whatever they want to do is right. bad. Like they leadership. Were legitimately yeah. like really bad.
Yeah.
But I just, when I was watching this, I was like, oh yeah, Iceman list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a line that John has where he's like, oh yeah, like that's what my captain keeps telling me. Like, right. LOL. Like,
and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it LOL? I don't know what you're kind of LOLing.
Are you LOLing about how many terrorists you just murdered?
That you just keep killing? You just don't yeah. understand. Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. It does have some scenes that are kind of comically violent. I forgot. I was like, oh, wow, well, his legs are just getting shot up.
The beginning scene with him just killing off the security dude, killing off, I was like, well, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That seems so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so immediate. Like, ah. Okay, there yeah. it is. And everybody's just calm.
Yeah, and I've been, which is like part of, I think, right, like it's supposed to be shocking. It's supposed to be, you know, this very like Frank Miller kind of version of reality where like just these people just do not care about life or death. And that's right. part of why they're like immediately coded as bad. Mm-hmm. But then neither does John McClane. So I'm not sure. I don't know. Like is it like an orc situation where like once you have determined that these people are bad, it doesn't matter if you murder them or not?
Right. And can we talk about him just throwing a body out the window onto right a police car?
Yes.
And then shooting at the police car.
Police car.
Like, bro, those are okay. So they're supposed to be automatic weapons. How in the hell are you not shooting this person? And then like he just keeps driving. So you're like, yes. What the? He's definitely dying now. Like, what is happening?
I love how he just like his car kind of plummets off a cliff. Yeah. A small cliff, not a big one. Like right. a little
yeah. ledge. Into a bush.
And. It's still upright and he just gets out and like wipes his head. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm like, Mr. Winslow, you have a concussion. Like, right. buddy, you're going to have whiplash.
Right. What is happening? I also love that the 911 operator hears the gunshots and be like, eh, it's a joke.
Yeah. Right? I love that too. They're like, poof, just a prank. The old holiday prank happens every year.
I mean, it's both like.
Call it a terrorist attack and shoot some guns.
Right. It's both pro law enforcement and then ACAB as well. It's like both of those things. And you're like.
It's an interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a weird dynamic here, but okay, I guess.
Yeah. It's not entirely propaganda.
Right.
Christmas movie, but like it does come close sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ending, as we said.
Yes. Hmm. That was a strange. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about because I've noticed in a lot of my holiday movies I watch, it is one of the biggest themes is the absent dad and divorce. And then at the end of the movie, you know, they've like, I don't know, usually in my case, not Die Hard. It's like they've felt the meaning of Christmas and they go back to their family. They got this gift for you or whatever. But in this, it's much more like, I don't know, he uses violence to protect his wife and then they reconnect. But it is such a huge trope, like that whole idea of the absent father right. during the holidays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He does bring a bear for his, like a big stuffed teddy bear.
He does, that's
right. For his kid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because he does it, as you said, Lauren, he's very salty about it. But he is coming to, he's coming to the holidays. He does yeah. have that line where he's like, oh, wow, where he's like, unless she's signing the checks, talking about his wife.
Taking her maiden name back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's just interesting to me that that is such a big trope
right.
in these things.
Well, I think there's another trope that we didn't hit on, but like this immediate sexual harassment.
Yes.
That Holly has to experience from mm-hmm. the coworker who ends up being
the coked out coworker.
But yeah. at the same time, like kind of a hero. Like you're like, what is he doing? I don't understand what's happening here. And we mean coked out in two different ways because he also has a coke as he could get shot.
Oh, he does.
Which yeah. is lovely, I guess. At least it gave him a refreshment. Before yeah,
Coca-Cola. It's like, yes, that's definitely how we wanted our product to be used.
Still the bell's like, what the hell? But yeah, the having the immediate like sexual harassment and then you're thinking maybe they're having an affair for a split second because you don't know what's going on. Then you realize, oh, he's just harassing her to convince her to like, and then he's also somehow mocking the husband.
Yeah.
Slash, you know, Bruce.
Yeah, it's a really negative portrayal of that type of 80s masculinity, which I appreciate the movie for doing. Like,
right.
I like it's played for laughs, and he is shown to be several times over a moron.
Right.
And so I kind of love it. Like, I kind of love having that caricature in there.
Well, I do love that there's, because this is like your most dude bro incompetent guy.
Yeah.
You can imagine. He's rude to his boss. He's doing cocaine at work. He's having sex with a coworker. He's like the worst dude, but he thinks he's so competent. Mm-hmm. And when he goes in to like negotiate.
Yeah, because he tries to take control of the whole hostage situation.
While Holly is like, don't do it, man. He goes in to do it, and he has like the most white guy confidence I've ever seen. He's just like, oh, I've got this.
I got this. Don't worry, y'all.
And then immediately is killed. But like, and they, after being giving up this very important information that makes the whole situation worse, but he does it so confidently. So confidently. But it's painted as a very, as the audience were supposed to be like, oh, this guy, which I appreciate too.
I think they also made him seem like he was going to betray. Like, he did say a stupid thing, but he didn't actually betray the wife. Like, you thought he was going to go in there and be like, you know, that's so-and-so. She's brought him because it's her husband, whatever. He was smart enough to realize not to say that part. So you kind of, like, they gave him a redeeming arc, but his stupidity, like, I don't know if they were trying to get a little sympathy for him.
Yeah.
But it was like, what? What?
Yeah,
and you holding your breath?
The
kind
worst.
Right. He's not great, but he's not the worst.
Not good. Not good.
Right. Yeah.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
We've already kind of talked about this for a second, but I did want to come back to, you know, watching this, I was like, the male friendship is happening here. And you don't see it too often.
You don't. Yeah. John and Al really make a connection over their walkie-talkies. They're talking about, you know, like it comes out that Al is about to have his first kid, and they're like talking about their children and their family life. And it's sweet.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of funny how it's done. It's parsed in a way that feels sort of silly where they're like, hey, man, yo, man. Like, it's very kind of
it's very macho.
But it is like they actually do talk about some serious and they do bond. And I don't know. I was kind of like, oh, this is because I feel like that can happen in these action movies. But a lot of times at the end, it's sort of. You good, man? And then they are. Like, I'll never see you again. Or like, well, let's forget that ever happened.
I feel like this is part of the beginning of the white man, black man sidekick.
Oh,
Because we see that with Lethal Weapon and all of that. Like, I wonder if that was supposed to be a thing. You kind of had that with the limo driver, which is just absently there drinking
He's
all the
like
liquor,
drinking in the back.
Just chilling, you know, not worrying about a thing.
I mean, Argyle is down. Like Argyle's there for John McClane. He's like, I really hope this works out for you and your lady. I'm gonna stay and like party out in this limo.
What is this job that he can just wait for someone? I know he was paid by the corporation because a part of this was that they didn't know if he was coming.
Right,
and he left everybody in limbo, and then the company's like, I'm gonna get you a fancy limo to come to the office because this makes sense.
He has a line when he's on the car phone because there's a phone in the limo and it's very fancy. when he's on the phone in the car with a buddy and he's like, nah, man, like my boss thinks I'm in Las Vegas right now. Like,
the level of confusion of this job.
Just, at the end, he picks up John and Holly and just drives away through this rubble.
After he rams a whole vehicle, takes a couple of people out, and then he's like, I'm out. Let's go.
This just like destroyed building, and he's driving through the limo.
Yeah.
As he's kissing him, he's like, I can't wait for New Year's, which is that big line. Like, if this is what your Christmas looks like, I can't wait. I want to be here for New Year's, which is hysterical. But going back to the friendship.
Okay, yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that John McClane tells everything on this radio that everybody has access to? Like, I am the most confused person. I'm like, you don't want to give the name, but you're giving all of this information. Hey, you have a kid. Like, that seems like a pretty big, like, don't tell people. Like,
don't
all
tell
these
the terrorists
things,
that you have.
They're all sharing a line. Like, he's like, oh, what the hell is happening? Like, this doesn't seem like a smart part of the plot. Am I not getting this?
And maybe there was like a cut scene where he was like, Hans, can you go to channel 2? I really have to talk about my kids right now.
I'm having an emotional moment and I really, you're toxic for me.
I'm sorry. I'm pulling glass out of my feet right now.
Sorry.
So
like, I got to tell them about what building I'm in and what floor I'm on and what I'm about to do. So, don't you worry. I'm not up here on the roof.
Yeah,
don't worry
I'm
about
definitely
me.
Definitely not on the roof. All right. Talk to you later.
I couldn't get past it. At one point, I was like, why does he keep telling? He knows they're on this. Oh, my God. I mean, in the end, that wasn't how he got outed, but still.
That's true.
But, you know, when they see at the end, when they see each other, like soft lens, like through like the smoke of the building being on fire.
The caressing
and,
look.
And like the slow, like they don't even have to say a word. They just know they know that this is their like long lost buddy.
Yeah. I like that they slowly come together.
Yeah.
Because like he's already got his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like they're slow-mo walking to each other in the fog.
Yes.
Like through the crowd of people as they separate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The crowd separates. And I'm like, isn't this supposed to be for the wife? Like, what?
Yeah, and then they giggle together and then embrace. And I'm like, this is so nice, right?
It is nice. It is set up well. But it threw me off to like, what is... going on? There is some homoerotic context here. And you know what? You do you.
Just dudes being bros, man.
Yeah,
just dudes being bros. Oh, wow. Speaking of, I did want to mention not being bros, but I do find it interesting in a lot of these action movies that are mostly men, but not always, where there's like the dude ego part of it, where the dude villain is always like, oh yeah, he's mine. And if they had like just not done that, then I think would have been worked out well for the terrorist. But he's like, no.
Right.
He's mine.
And also, again, they have the semi-automatic weapons. They're just randomly shooting. How do you know if he's yours? Like, at this point, you're just shooting up everything, dude.
Yeah,
you
right,
literally
right.
went, go for the glass, and went everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the one who's going after him, Carl, it's because he killed his brother.
Right.
Right.
And wrote a rude message on his sweatshirt in his own blood.
Yes.
So that's, you
it's
know,
pretty intense.
I mean, I would be dropped it from into an elevator.
Like, I would be pissed as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Now I've got a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho.
I mean, honestly, like, if I got a message like that, I'd be like, this guy is crazy. I'm out.
Right. Right. Like, he's playing with dead bodies. Like, instead of just leaving it, what? He threw a dead body out the window. Anybody else feel just like
let's
psychotic?
Just call this off.
And so they do it in New York, man. I'm not sure. I don't think that's how they do it in New York. I could be wrong.
New Yorkers are mad. We don't throw dead bodies. How dare you?
No.
Yeah, the whole thing, like, I do love it. Is it quite entertaining? It was 2 hours and 12 minutes long. I'm like, oh my God.
It's a very long
like,
film.
I mean, we've come back to that now. I think we're sort of just backtrack and being like, okay, let's do this less. But like the entirety as we set up and seeing the explosions everywhere and my question of like, how did that survive? How did this go? Why are they doing like so many questions? I get like willing suspension of disbelief for a darling Christmas movie as is. But there's so much of like, wow, 80s. Did we really think this was okay?
Well,
you know, I think that they really wanted to develop Hans Gruber's concept out, you know, because it turns out that, right, he's not, he sells himself as a terrorist.
Right.
He's there for ideological reasons, but it turns out he just wants money. There's just a bunch of, like, bonds or something
right.
in the vault. And so that's kind of the twist that, like, oh, like, this dude is not actually an ideological villain. He's just a thief.
Right. There's no real reason. And $6 million with like, there was 10 of them. 10 of them. So I'm like, we're not even going to get $1 million.
I think it was 600 million, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a difference. That's a, you know.
That's a big difference. Okay.
And
still,
accounting for inflation, but sure. Yeah.
But still, in the end, that's not like it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, to do that amount of damage.
Right.
And, like, and apparently they planned this to the core.
Yeah.
And they had always intended to kill
murdering,
all of them.
Yeah, like 30 hostages.
For
and
that
blow up
amount
a
of money is like, that seems silly.
You've never played D&D.
Apparently not.
Stuff happens
no, I have
all
not.
The time.
I've never really wanted to rob anybody either. So there's that, I guess. Both of those things
Both
are
of
very
those things
true.
Are true.
You know, he's got a very nice suit. He clearly has good tastes.
He did talk about that suit.
You know, keep up those subscriptions to Forbes or whatever.
That's fair.
Yeah, I love when they mention Forbes. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I read it in a Forbes. He said. And yes, of course, we have to do some Alan Rickman love. Seeing him and being the ultimate bad guy. I did not correlate him from the past. Like, obviously, to see him in that, you're like, aw.
Oh, yeah.
Alan,
he's
silly
so,
goose.
Yeah. He's so slick and so funny. And the character is portrayed as being super smart, which I love.
Yeah.
And very ginger. He's also, I don't think he's ginger anywhere else ever.
Mm-hmm.
The auburn red was in and the
it
red.
Was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, yeah. But also like notably like does not like because eventually he takes Holly hostage, and no threats of sexual violence. Zero, nothing like that at
right.
all. Which
that was
again,
a delight
like,
to see.
For like 1988, I'm really impressed. I'm like, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
No trying to take off clothes, no trying to do any of that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, like in the heat of everything, like you kind of like her shirt is like a little bit open. Like you see right. like a quarter of a boob. But it's like not even really played up that hard.
Right.
But yeah, no, I Alan Rickman, you're too good. You were too good for us.
Right. I will say again, him trying to do the American accent, I'm glad I've never heard him try to do that again. I don't know if there's other movies that he does, but I was like, why?
It was very bad. It was also very bad.
And also, which I love. It took me, I forgot the whole like plot that Bruce Willis' character, John McClane, knows that he's not this hostage. He does know that, but he's playing along with him. But as you're trying to figure it out, like, how do you not recognize his voice? Like, yeah. Alan Rickman has the most distinct voice ever. And then also his pauses. Like, I guess I probably have some enunciation stuff as well, you know, that you're like,
sure, we all do. But
his is so specific that I'm like, come on.
I think he didn't immediately know that he wasn't a hostage, but he wasn't going to give a loaded gun to someone that he didn't know.
Yeah. Smart.
Smart.
Yes.
But yeah, and especially like I do love the way that like this very, again, like very slick, very 80s kind of power suit villain is put up against John McClane, you know, who's like running around in like a tank top and no shoes the entire yes. movie. He eventually loses the tank top.
Yes, he does. I was like, wait.
He does. There's so much to that. I was like, okay, I know. Again, I have not watched this, so I can't appreciate it in its heyday. Because when you're coming back on a film, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But yeah. you don't get it. Truly, truly get it. Uh-huh. But I was like, what made them decide he doesn't need shoes? Like, that was such an early on plot that I was like, why?
I love this about this movie, actually, because, like, it's a way of showing vulnerability and, like, salt of the earthiness, which is a really important
yes.
part of the character. And like, really putting him at a disadvantage, like, every possible disadvantage against these very... you know, well-heeled, like literally well-heeled villains, and then putting him up against that. I love that. I love how, like, American exceptionalism it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
how very, very 1980s.
Yes.
I have to admit, y'all, that shirtless, bleeding John McClane and... really slick suited Alan Rickman, man, like I watched this movie at an impressionable age, okay? And like both of those tropes have inappropriately informed my sexuality.
Another ship, I bet. Oh my god.
Oh, I'm sure. I need you to do some research, Annie, and find out how much diehard fanfics they're out there.
I am ready. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, like it's just really playing with ideas of masculinity. I genuinely like rewatching this film, and you know, like I was a little bit biased because I knew I was about to come talk to y'all about it, but I was like, this movie is explicitly about changing gender norms and the changing views of masculinity that were going on during this time period. And then everything blows up. It's great. It's everything I want in a film.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I will say also, we've talked about this before, both on Saver and on a Spin Team. But this was also when the U.S. was really panicked about Japan
right.
being an economic success.
Yes.
So just like the whole Nakatomi Plaza and all that stuff, that was a big thing that was happening during the 80s, for sure. I also wanted to talk about the tech, just for fun.
Yes.
Because, you know, I love talking about older technology. I love all of the stuff in the limo. Like, you've got the CD, the VCR, he says.
He says
in the limo. The old-timey, like, check-in device.
Touchscreen, like, janky touchscreen check-in device.
That's going to tell you how to piss. Or hold it while you piss, that's what he said.
That's how he learns, like the villains learn she's changed, Holly's changed her name. I just love stuff like this. I love looking back and
Yeah. And all the like state of the art computer graphics that are going on.
Yes. Oh, the writing out of my God, the fonts coming out. I noticed that. I was like, oh my God, we're in it. We're in it now.
There's a few other moments in that movie where I'm like, we are really in 1988. Like gas is 74 cents a gallon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like smoking in an airport.
In the car.
In the car.
Yeah.
He's like open carrying a gun in a holster under his jacket at the airport. I'm like, what is happening in this film?
Oh,
it's
my
so strange to look at it now.
It is. It is. But I love that. I love that kind of stuff.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I did also want to mention, speaking of tropes, the holiday trope is like part of the whole plot of the holiday trope, the holiday party trope. It's sort of a whole plot point in this. And I have to say, again, looking back at the holiday movies I watch every year, that is a common theme. The holiday party.
Never goes well.
It causes something. Usually not good. It makes sense. The getting all the people together in one place and the drama and all of that will unfold, whether it is at the party, whether it's when you get home and they're like, wait for
sure.
Again.
Sure.
But I find that interesting.
Sure. You could also make an argument that it's, you know, kind of trying to talk about the psychological stress of that kind of environment
yeah.
and spin it out into a more, you know, interesting story than like, I was pit sweating a little. Like, right. that's not a good movie.
No.
But
well, depends.
Okay.
Depends on the pit sweat, I guess.
I suppose you're right. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, well, new thing to worry about. I did, like, unfortunately, I do think, like, the creeper hitting on you at work at a holiday party is a pretty, a not uncommon experience. Not necessarily in our office parties, but I've certainly been to some where I was like, okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she immediately is dealing with that.
Yeah.
Yes. But then finally, yeah, I just wanted to end on this trend that I feel like Die Hard was really tapping into, that feeling that is causing this trend of like kind of the anti-holiday movie. That's like,
yeah.
It has all of the decor, has Christmas lights, has Christmas thing. It even has like music, but is much darker themed.
Yes.
Like it does have some regular songs, but like the actual like orchestra behind some of the scenes is just kind of darker notes of Christmas tunes.
It's very 80s action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think that. I was like, there it is. There's the all of the synthesizers in the background with as you're like waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm. For 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
We're like, what's happening? I wonder if it like, I mean, I'm sure there was already films like this for holidays as well. Also, it's probably the beginning of where it's like, it's just based on the, like, it just takes place and not necessarily meant to be a Christmas movie.
Right.
Like,
right.
We know White Christmas, obviously a Christmas movie.
Sure.
Elf, obviously a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Christmas Vacation, obviously a Christmas movie. But then you have movies like this, and Once Upon a Time, like, I was talking about how I would watch, I don't any longer, but, like, Harry Potter would be a part
sure.
of my Christmas movie.
Totally.
Even though it's not, like, there's only one scene where it's Christmas, but yet, for some reason, that was enough
yeah.
for the whimsy of that.
And I can't remember whether it was just, like it felt warm and familial,
yeah.
and that was the Christmas vibe, or
right.
did they come out around Christmas originally, and so it kind of got ingrained into our brains that it was a Christmas
right.
thing, or...
I know it was, like, yeah. during the fall Christmas era, right? Most of the times that
most
would come
of them
out.
Came out.
I think so.
The first ones came out November, late
okay.
November,
okay.
and then a lot of the other ones came out middle of summer, but yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's the beginning. I never got into it till later, but all that to say is, like, it kind of brought that in, and then you have that climax of, like, let's make these movies on Christmas Day, but not necessarily about Christmas.
Right.
There's a couple more that I can think of. But I wonder, like, also movies like, did y'all see Violent Night, which is supposed to be Santa against
yet.
The terrorist, essentially?
Yeah. Puns.
All the puns. And it's kind of like, for some reason, the two of them were similar enough in my head that I was like, there's something very familiar about this plane.
Yeah, I think a part of it too is, like, we've talked about this all the time on the podcast, off the podcast, but, like, when I think about why I like horror movies, I think ultimately it's that I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch, like, a horror movie, I really like the building of tension and release in what I consider a
yeah.
safe environment.
Right,
and I
sure.
feel like something like Die Hard, you know, isn't a horror movie, so it can fit into, like, oh, I don't like horror, but I like action. But it's
yeah.
still kind of doing that thing where it's building tension and releasing.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
during
yeah.
the holidays, we're all stressed. And maybe you're tired of watching all these things about how it's not stressful.
Yeah, it's all going to be great. Like, mm-hmm. like, no, there's a pile of dead terrorists over there,
oh,
guys.
Right. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Right.
And then also, like, I wonder if this was also geared towards men in that most of the Christmas movies, when you really think on it, outside of, like, families, it's not necessarily geared towards men. So I wonder if, like, we're going to bring in this action and make this Christmas. So not only will we have women with the Christmas part, maybe, the action part will bring in the masculine men who wants to hear
yeah.
about Yippie Ki-Yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I had to bring that in
yeah.
somewhere.
It is definitely a very male gaze movie. There's a couple instances where when they're up near the roof in the area that's still under construction, where the construction workers have left behind a titty calendar. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can say that on this show, but you'll bleep me if I can. Great. And so it's just like a naked, like a top naked model.
Right.
And
he talks
by the
to
second,
it, right?
Yeah. Like by the second time he passes by, he's like, oh, hey, babe. Like he doesn't like talk, but he just gives her like a little kiss, like a little
right.
hand kiss,
mm-hmm.
Which is very sweet. He's like, babe, we're in this together. Like we got this, girl.
Mm-hmm. I think I missed that part. My partner, who is a man, was like, did you just see that? I was like, what are you talking about?
and then later, when Alan Rickman, when Hans Gruber is like so overjoyed that they finally have an Ode to Joy is the classical piece that's playing the background the whole time, which is great. But mm-hmm. but yeah, when he's so overjoyed that they finally gotten the vault open, there's some statuary in there in addition to all of the bonds. And one of them is a lady, and he just kind of pings the boob. He just boops, mm-hmm. boops the boob.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He boops the boob.
I was like, well, you and John McClane have something in common.
That's true. Maybe it was trying to show
similarities, parallels.
Yeah, commonalities. There were naked breasts in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a solid, like at first you think it's maybe only going to be like half a boob, but then it's a solid two boobs. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Very
briefly.
The like incompetent dude who's trying to have sex at this holiday party.
Yeah, when the terrorists bust up the yeah. inter-office sex. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I guess I really did bypass all that. I must have been looking down, like, yeah, whatever. Because I did not see any of the boobies.
Oh, there were boobies, Samantha.
No boobies in my peripheral. I was like, okay, I'm going to do my thing.
Nope.
No boobies exist to me.
I've paid attention.
I was like, whoa, I forgot about this.
totally incidental boobs. Yeah.
Incidental.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I also, it kind of cracked me up, the whole thing about the pregnant woman and the alcohol. It's like, oh.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's another. Oh, this really is 1988 thing. Right.
Yes.
Because she's like, hey, like, can I go to the party, Holly, boss Holly? I kind of want a drink. She's like 8.5 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And Holly is like, the baby's ready to 10 bar. Like, yeah. don't worry about drinking when you're pregnant. Like, what?
Oh. Right. The time you come in, you think I should have a couple of drinks. And then she's like, girl, that baby's about to 10 bar. Like, old enough to 10 bar.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Holiday parties are wild. I do still want to talk with you later, Lauren, about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, because
yes.
I can't remember if it takes place at the holidays, but there are a lot of Christmas lights in it.
There certainly are.
There are a lot
Isn't
of
Isn't it
Christmas
supposed to be
lights.
Spooky lights? Is that, are you talking about in the shop? I can't remember the two. Okay. I remember one, I feel like maybe there was just lighting with, like it was Christmas lights.
No, there are actual like multicolored strand lights in the second one, because there are many bonkers choices that are made.
Yes.
In that
but
movie
the
film.
Ending is very, I was like, oh, okay. Then we could talk about this on Sminty. Okay. I love it.
It's a beautiful film.
We've been talking about having that one.
I know.
One on.
It's been in our drafts for a long time.
Anytime, y'all.
Yes. Okay.
Tis always the season for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
We always tell guests that because we're like, you don't have to limit yourself. If you're really excited to talk about something, we can talk about it whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the holidays.
You do you. We'll support it.
Especially like horror-related stuff.
Yeah,
we
that's
are all
always
about
welcome
it.
Here.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It is. All right. Any closing thoughts?
I hate that it's a meme now that no, I heard a Christmas movie. Oh, it's not a Christmas. Let's argue about it on the internet. Because it takes place at Christmas. It has Christmas music in it. I have a family tradition of watching it at Christmas. Get your meme out of my family tradition.
Get your meme out. I mean, that's true. Honestly, it, like so many of the holiday things we do are just nostalgic.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it can be, like, I watch a bunch of movies that I wouldn't call Christmas movies, but I watch them every Christmas. So they're Christmas movies to me.
And all the networks have seemed to agree with you as they make sure that you have to pay for it because they know it's going to sell.
Well, that's another thing I always like joke with my mom, because she'll be like, why is this artist making a Christmas album? I'm like, because they know every year people are going to listen to it. And so it's like a guaranteed like revenue stream. I bet that's one of the choices they made when they're like, we'll put it at Christmas.
Yeah, people look at Mariah Carey and they're like, holy heck.
Yeah. And every year it goes to number one. Every year.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, they knew what was going on in multiple ways, I would say.
Multiple.
Yes, but thank you so much for coming on, Lauren. This was a delight.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. where can the good listeners find you?
Oh, heck. Well, you can listen to a podcast that I don't know if you guys have heard of. It's called Savor, that Annie is the co-host of.
I don't know what that is.
Food science and history and culture and wacky stuff. I'm also on a podcast called Brain Stuff, which is a short form science and history kind of show. And I guess I'm on Instagram. I don't know. It's my username is Vogelbaum, like VOGELBOMB. It's like a pun. Yeah.
Hi. We love puns here, so.
It's a true story. One of us loves puns here.
Hey.
One more. There's a horror fiction podcast called 12 Ghosts.
Yes.
12 Ghosts. I'm saying it right this time. Mm-hmm. That I got to do last year. I got to do some voice work for. It's a good, it's actually like a holiday spooky anthology horror show.
Very good.
So,
yes.
Someone else I know who has a story in theirs.
Yeah.
Several people's.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Several humans.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And, and Malcolm McDowell was our big star of that one. So, and he is just a pleasure to listen to. He could be, reading the script of Die Hard, and it would be great.
Oh, now that's an idea. That is an idea. Yes. And also, I don't think I mentioned it, but Lauren is also in my D&D group.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Every time we're talking about D&D, just know Lauren.
Yeah, yeah.
Deal with my terrible decisions.
I was about to say that Annie is having to deal with my terrible decisions. But...
Well, it's a mutual. It's collaborative.
And we can both dislike and love peaches.
It's just character based after Samantha's dog. Yes.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think she's behind the whole thing.
Oh, we'll see.
That's
my conspiracy theory of the D&D game. It was peaches all along.
All along.
Yes. We'll find out.
Oh, no.
But in the meantime, yes, thank you so much, Lauren, for being here. And listeners, if you would like to contact us, you can. Our email is stephanie@momstuff.iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter @momstuffpodcast or on Instagram and TikTok @StuffOnNeverToldYou. We have a T-Public store and a book. You can get it. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff on Never Told is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can find it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.